Good morning. Welcome to this episode of the Under the Helmet podcast. With the offseason for a lot of teams, the spring teams I know, there's so much to talk about. To talk about so much going on in the world of semi-pro, you know him, the Rashford's edge rusher, Darius Gillette. Debo, good morning. How are you?
Morning, my brother. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Now, it's weird. Like, I look at Facebook, look at Instagram, when I look at all these national championship games, I hate them with the heat of a thousand suns. Here's why. What are they proving? They're proving that people can slap a title of national championship on something, lure teams from across the country in front of, like, people and barely televised, and the play is so bad. When you see all these national championship games pop up, what's the first thing that crosses your mind?
Be honest, first thing that crosses my mind is money. I think of a money thing. I think of a who knows who thing. Some of the teams that I've watched that actually did go down there, I can give props to. I've watched them throughout the season in different leagues, and I've seen what they've done in different leagues. And it's like, I don't know, some of the teams that they play for the so-called national championship, they're worse than their championship. So I don't get it.
Yeah. I watched a couple, and I probably, you know, like I said, I said I wouldn't watch too many more, but some of this is intriguing because if these teams are the best representatives of their league, some of these leagues are trash. I'm going to be honest. Like, some of these leagues are absolute garbage. If you're going to send a team to a quote-unquote national championship and they get the brakes beat off them, why are you going? Because I think people want to sit there and say, well, you know, it's like college. It's like having FBS and FCS, Division II and III. Yeah, but then you have folks who will play what amounts to a Division III or NAIA national championship and thinking that they're going to be able to walk into the APDFL, or they're going to be able to walk into the Pacific Coast League and thinking they're going to start calling a shot. Why do you think people don't really understand that this game has levels?
Because a lot of people just really look local. When it comes down to just what they see locally, a lot of people just think like, oh, I'm just the best locally in your area. And then sometimes your area is not even a good area. And, you know, like, just for instance, when we refer to Atlanta, like, it's a lot of teams that's in the city of Atlanta. It's a lot of teams that's in the state of Georgia. Only a couple get real recognition when you actually, like, be like, okay, these are very good teams. And then the other ones are kind of, like, sprinkled in. So it's like, to me, I've always tried to push the basic D1, D2 type of format, you know, when it comes down to some of these leagues. Because it's like, I feel like you should just stay in your place. Like, if the league is really ran and you want it to be ran correctly, you just run it like a D2 league. If you feel like you don't have the best people in there, you run like a D2 league. If somebody wins a championship three times in a row or something like that, you tell them they got to leave. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like everybody's not getting better. You recruit another guy, bring another team in. And to me, if I win a league three times in a row, it's not a challenge. Like, it's – I don't care if you was, you know what I'm saying, but it's like if you went three times in a row, it's like go conquer something else to me. You know, you probably done outgrew the league, or maybe the league got a little watered down, lost a couple of teams that kind of could have gave you a little run for your money. But most of the time when it's tight like that, and if it's, you got like a league of just say like 15 teams and four of them are solid, those four stick around. You know what I'm saying? Unless they just start to get real bored and they just say, okay, this is just not it. We're not getting better. And then they'll migrate. But to me, I've always tried to push the basically, like you said, the D1, D2, NIA type style. Because to me, it'd be more fun. It's like, what fun is that? Like, let's just saying the Thrashers join random NDFL league or just random league, and we playing all teams that's like not even over 500. Like, that just would bore me. I know we got better talent than them on a bad day. I don't see the point of us playing in this league, you know. So I think sometimes you just got to be real with yourself and kind of gauge the team according to what you have. and just stay true to it. I mean, you can change next year, you can recruit more, but I think that they want to get together like that. But at the end of the day, I know it falls into money. I know that's what it runs into.
It has to fall into money because, like you said, some of these teams and some of the lesser known leagues stick around because then they can sit there and brag, well, our team is going 37-3 in these 4 years. Who'd you beat? And the one thing that a lot of these teams and small leagues hate is that question. Who did you beat? And based on everybody, I'm like, who? Name me one team that I would know that you beat in a game. And it also brings a question of preseason games where there's been talk in other states about champions from leagues playing preseason games. Am I the only person that thinks that preseason game between champions is stupid?
To me, I do too. I think it's stupid because if you just came off a championship, like really when you come back next year, you're kind of retooling if you know, you got your new pieces in. So it's like, to me, what's the point of playing another champion? And maybe you was a champion in the fall. I was a champion in the spring last year. These teams really not going to gauge and give you the best of best anyway, because if this team is ending their year, they're probably going to be on a higher note, and they're starting the year, so they're not all together, unless you're talking about a team that's been together for like, you know, 3-4 years or something like that. But even then, you still kind of, you get new pieces as the years go on, people retire, people get new jobs, and, you know, you may lose a couple of people, so you got to get those people ready. But for the most part, I really didn't see a purpose in trying to play a champion preseason, because it's like, what? Unless y'all just fighting for something, or y'all trying to put some money on the table, put a belt on the table, like, it would have to be something extra. I wouldn't just be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to preseason and play now. That's like, I guess we'll go with our league. That's like saying Crescent City Kings and, you know what I'm saying, you tell them the Blackhawks, they play again preseason. It's like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to get my revenge, I want it to be a real game. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather just gauge us. We play like a lesser team or something like that, or a team that kind of got a little fight, you know, and just tune up for the season. I mean, you're going to play some good ball depending on what league you're in. You should be playing some good teams within that. And just to piggyback on what you said earlier, I just thought about how people was like, how they beat somebody. And then it's like, who you beat? Well, we played 8 games and you played 3 teams. Like, what you want me to say? Like, come on, man. You play 8 games and play 3 teams. Like, everybody getting played twice and somebody's getting played 3 times and you averaging beating folks 27 points a game. It's like, how is that fun? You know, so, but, you know, people want to brag to say they win, but most people that do that, they're not used to winning anyway.
Exactly.
So
that's the thing.
I really laugh at them because it's like you're really not used to winning. So it's like you went to go pick on the little – you went to the little kid's court to go play basketball. You know what I'm saying? You out here looking like you Shaq. You know what I'm saying?
And
you
put rims.
I ran the table today, man. I was out there dunking on folks, blocking shots left and right, sky hook. It's like, who you was playing? Oh, shit, it was a couple of middle schoolers, man. They was out there hooping, man. So I thought I'd go out there. Huh?
Man, listen, it's that same concept, and people are like, well, you know, I don't care if the game doesn't count. I just want bragging rights. Now, here's the thing. I believe this, and a coach told me this long ago, in your body as a football player, you have a certain amount of snaps, quality snaps, in your body throughout your career. Why would you waste them on games that don't count?
Yeah, and I'm always a big fan because, like I said, I know the level of talent that I bring to the team, and I know the importance that I do just being on the field, period. When it's games like that, cupcake games or games where it's not that deep, I really don't like to play. I ain't gonna lie, I may get in, stretch my legs a quarter, and I'm trying to get out. Like, I don't know, as a true baller, that doesn't excite me to play against somebody that's just so sorry. Because, like, I'm really exerting myself to go out here and just do, you know, to do what? I might mess around and exert myself too much and get hurt. And now I feel bad I got hurt playing against a team that I know good and well. I should have just been sitting out chilling. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm over here looking crazy. I done hurt myself because they not that good. I done rolled my ankle or, you know, just something stupid. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really not a big fan. I know lesser teams have to get better. But I just feel like, say, for me, I feel like I know what level I'm on. I go out there, get my 110%. We get up. Next man up. Bro, go ball out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I do have a competitiveness, but it's just, I don't know. Like I said, that's just like playing, you know, your little nephew in the PlayStation. Like, he don't know what he's doing. And you over here just like, yeah, 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 take that. Like, bro, what is you talking about? You know? But, hey, that's just how some people are, though.
It reminds me of a guy actually not too far from you, from Tenille, Georgia, Robert Edwards. Now, he was a running back at the University of Georgia. Now, here's the thing. Okay. He had a great first year with the Patriots, like made the Pro Bowl. But then he went to a one of those flag football games on the sand in Hawaii, blew out his knee. Game didn't count.
Damn.
Let me find it where it is. It's so it was a rookie flag football game in Hawaii during Pro Bowl week. They said that doctors told him that he was real close to having his leg amputated below the knee and was told that he may not ever walk again.
Dang.
He didn't play for 4 years, and then he kind of bounced around and he kind of called it quits in Canada in 2007, or I should say 2008. So he played 2 years. First year with the Patriots, he ran for 1,115 yards, 9 touchdowns, made the Pro Bowl.
Damn.
4 years later, he had 20 carries for 107 yards total with the Dolphins. This is how playing stupid games gets your ass hurt.
And, yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't even count.
It will, man. Don't even count. You out here playing in the sand. Supposed to be trying to have fun, and I'm pretty sure he's probably out there going hard, you know. And then playing in sand, you already know you know your body gets weighed down. You don't have as much traction, so trying to make all those cuts and doing all that type of stuff, like, bro, you're doing too much, you know.
Exactly.
I wanted to put myself in that predicament.
Nah, they tried to convince him. They tried to like hype it up because it was on TV, and I remember the clip where he made a cut. And I was like, oh no, he like laid there. I'm like, oh, he ain't getting up. And then that was his.
Yeah,
that's
the one thing I'm really fearing. That's my biggest fear, really, is actually getting a major injury in a time frame or at a place of time of a game that I shouldn't even been out there. You know, that's why I was very unselfish this year, and I didn't play as many snaps because I was hurt. And I can say to me, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to my teammates. It wouldn't be fair to my coaches, anybody. You know what I'm saying? Just being selfish out there and, you know what I'm saying, not being able to be at the top level that I know I can. I really think people just take that heat across everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to believe in your brothers, man, you know, and sometimes you got to sit it down, you know.
I'll give the last example of this is I covered the Raiders and Derek Carr. They're playing the Colts on. I remember this because it was Christmas Eve 2016. I know this because I had my son was 3 months old. My daughter was 2.5. So I'm sitting there watching the game. They're up by, I want to say 14, late third quarter. They're driving. I'm like, all they got to do, why still in the game? They were pounding the Colts. At the time, they were 12 and 3. Why are they going back to pass? It's like first down. He goes back to pass. Trent Cole gets pushed, accidentally rolls up on his leg, breaks his leg, blows out his knee. The Raiders lose the division, still make the playoffs, and get crushed by the Texans. In a game that, honestly, didn't count, their quarterback gets hurt, and he has never been the same since. Every time you get near Derek Carr to this point, anytime you get near him, if you're a defender, he gets nervous. This is why.
Yeah.
And folks get stupid. Now, when we come back from break, I want to talk about how you see the future in the APDFL as far as this upcoming season and things you like and things you don't like so far about your first season back. You are listening to the Under the Helmet podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Helmet podcast. Terrence Biggs, David Gillette, Debo. Coming back to the APDFL, you saw a lot of things you liked, A lot of things you did. What did you like most about the return to the league for the Thrashers?
What I like most about the return to the league was basically really, I ain't gonna lie to you, I want to say competition. Competition, and I ain't gonna lie, I didn't really play on really a bad field this year. I think pretty much the most of the teams we played on, they had nice facilities. A lot of the facilities we went to had locker rooms, and that's a big plus. Like, you go to all these different leagues and you get in play these some teams and you pulling up to a field that's sitting off the highway, or you know what I'm saying, in the middle of somebody's neighborhood, ain't no bleachers, you know what I'm saying? You getting dressed in your car, you know, it's a shootout down the street. Like, those things make it hard for you to even promote your team. So I understand when you're a first year team, you just gotta get it how you live and you gotta grind it up. But I've seen first year teams have nice facilities as well. But this year, like I said, I really give heads up to all the teams that we did go visit. Pretty much they took care of us, and I wasn't used to that. Actually going places and people actually take care of you and let you know, like, we got locker room for y'all, we got this for y'all, you know what I'm saying? If y'all need water, you know, let us know. So I think that was a huge plus for me. Because it just like makes it, you know, it just makes the league look better, man. It's like there's no need to just basically shit on the other team. Only when the whistle blows. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, we all, you know, we all together, we got to get along, you know what I'm saying? We go through so much stuff anyway. You know, I felt like that was a big plus for me. Just security and knowing where I'm going, knowing I'm gonna be in a good place, nice field. I ain't gotta worry about rocks and hills and ant piles and all this craziness in the field, man. So I do gotta give heads up to pretty much most of the teams that we did go visit and play this year.
The only field I saw that I didn't like the show was, I forgot who it was, but there was like a water tower, like an irrigation tower next to the field. I was like, oh no, that's they're playing the pasture. They're playing the cow pasture.
I think the Georgia Crushers had a field like
Gotcha. Yes, that was it.
that. It looked like they was, yeah, it looked like they was gonna go walk over there and pick some corn or something in a little while at
I was like, is that a cow?
halftime.
Is that what we're doing right now? But no, what was the thing that you didn't like about this first season back? What can the league do differently and better?
I'll say, just broaden kind of the communication with some of the other players. Like, you did a great job on just trying to get different flavor in there. I would like to see kind of like what I'm trying, like, not gonna say trying to become, but kind of have become. Just getting some more people out there to just kind of represent their area, represent their state. I know you've been having you know, my guy from the Predators, he's been doing a good job helping out with that Alabama region. Like, I really want to know more about these other teams in the West, but it's like I only hear it from certain people, and it's like I hear it from the same people. They talk about the dynasty, dynasty, dynasty. It's like we know about the dynasty. We know the dynasty is a, you know, a good organization. They've been around for a while. They've won what, three in a row. Like, we know this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know more about those other teams, and it's like people wait to the end of the year to just be like, oh, y'all been sleep on me all year, y'all
Oh,
been
God,
did
yeah.
this, I did that. And I was like, bro, throughout the year, when we've been talking about stuff, like, that was your chance to insert it. Let us talk about it. Like, the Thrashers was the newest, you know, like I said, we came into the league, you know, along with the Tigers. They came into the league, the Horsemen came into the league, but the Tigers and the Horsemen hadn't been around. The Thrashers really hadn't been a team like consecutive years. This was like our first year having like consecutive years in a while. Like, we hadn't played the Thrashers since 2016. It took a little break off, and then he ran two back to back. And I think this is the second year. We'll be going to the third year of just going straight through. And that's good building. But I feel like it was nothing against the front office, because that should have came with players and stuff like that. But I mean, I know. Talk with Bernard and stuff, and he got a couple ideas and stuff. I'm not gonna shoot him out there, but he did have a couple ideas, and he just, you know, asked me a couple things, you know, what to bounce back on, and different things that I do see, but I would like to see somebody that can like represent the state of New Orleans, represent the state of Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? So we can just try to get a what's going on in the field of what's going on, because to be honest, like, I hadn't heard anything from all those other teams on the West Coast. Besides, the only reason I knew about the Crescent City Kings because we played them. The only reason I knew about the Dynasty is because it's just a Dynasty. Now, I had to kind of do my research to kind of look at the Cardinals and Crusaders and all that. And it's like, when I ask questions on the page, people get offensive. Like,
they get
I said earlier, they get pissy and offensive. And it's like, bro, I'm asking questions because I don't know who you are. And it's like, I'm not going to take the value of everybody else commenting on your shit, because they're probably either your friends, you know what I'm saying, or he could have thought they could have played against you probably like one time. Like, when people be talking about everybody the GOAT, this, you the GOAT, that, you a legend, it's like, bro, how many legends and how many GOATs are there?
None.
It can't be that many.
Or few.
It can't be that many. Like, it can't be that many GOATs. And then it's like, you know what I'm saying, when people, and that thing too, when people say they retire and then they come back next year, like, why announce your retirement? You know you wasn't ready to retire. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you was, I'd rather you just took the whole year off and then say, okay, I got the itch to come back. But that's a little thing, man. I call it, me and my coach used to call it, a lot of people have sand in their vagina. And, you know, when you get to asking questions, everybody feels offended. Everybody feels like they got backlash. They got to call you sorry. And it's like, bro, I never said anything about you sorry. I'm asking what you play, who you play for. You know what I'm saying? What you do? So, because I want to know. I like football. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's not a joker, but now I do joke a lot. I've been joking way more because, like, well, now I'll just be the bad guy. I'll just go ahead and be the bad guy, and I want y'all to talk stuff about me. Talk about me. Call me sorry. Let me. I like that. Come on, let me know. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what I bring to the table.
Man, listen, there are folks in there taking pictures of themselves in locker rooms, adding me. I'm like, that's one, the weirdest shit ever.
Yeah, I don't understand that. The adding, you know what I'm saying, taking pictures and stuff like that and putting slick diss comments and stuff like that. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, that, you know, on the Trash Talk page, we do a lot of at. Like, where is your at? Who are you talking at? And that's nothing. I invited a lot of them from the main page because I'm not trying to get that page to get that negative light. You know, that page, the APDFL page, has to stay a positive light. You know, you talk your stuff here and there, but I gave them an avenue to come to. And it's like they still keep going to that page, and they know that people can't turn up or say different things because you're going to get looked at, you're going to get hollered at, you might get blocked, you may get your stuff removed. So it's like, but, you know, that's one of the things I didn't like. But I would like to know more. I would like to know more about the other ones. And I appreciate you because you gave the avenue for those teams to have voices. But it's just like, I don't want the whining voices. I want, like, real football talk, you know what I'm saying? Let me know what's going on and stuff
that
like
part.
That. And that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear you wiping and grinding and complaining about your owner, complaining about this. I don't want to hear that. Like, if you want to say that, go set it on the Trash Talk page and talk it over there and complain over there and see who really cares about it, because it's probably bogus anyway. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't do their research, and then they get mad when they get stuck into the situation, and now they want to try to blast everybody at the end of the year. It's like, nah, bro, you didn't do your research. That's your fault. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
you know, it's a live and learn situation.
And that's the part that kills me, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, I say, you know what, turn in your film, turn in your stats, be a part of this list. And people got pissed. I'm like, you know what, this is what we're going to do then. I'm covering between 8 and 12 teams. That means everybody's in the league. I don't care. I'm not covering you. You can have the greatest year ever, and I wouldn't give a damn. Mm-mm. So what I did instead was I'm going to cover like the 8-12 APDL 14s, but also talk to the people in the Pacific Coast Football League, because my goal is we're bringing together a national top 50. These are the 50 best players in the league from ocean to ocean, from Atlanta, Georgia to Oakland, California.
Okay.
There might be a Texas league right there too. So it's about making the platform bigger. And there was one player from a team that I had a little bit of issue with was like, you're covering me now. I'm like, this dude I have ultimate respect for. He is a new quarterback. You probably knew who I'm talking about.
So he's a new quarterback?
Uh-huh. He's the team's new quarterback. He went from a team that was undefeated to a team that made the playoffs last year.
Okay.
This dude I have the ultimate respect for. I'm going to cover him, not so much his team, because I respect him. And if his team can actually show they can actually behave like adults, we can see what's what. But that's one of the moves that is going to be good. Like, do you see any player movement initially that you think will change the complexion of the league?
Well, that change right there, I believe that'll give more stability, veteran leadership coming into that locker room. Because there's a lot of younger guys over there, and a lot of guys that just think that people owe them something.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, maybe he can bring that leadership in there and just let them folks know, like, bro, play football, you'll get noticed. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Get quality film. So, post it. You will get noticed. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody really want to see – that's another thing. Don't nobody really want to see flip film that's been recorded on a Nokia you know what I'm saying, that you had back in 98. I can't see it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, you see? No, I did not see that. I had to squint and watch it like 30 times for me to get kind of a feel of what's going on. And then it was like, it wasn't even an impact play. Like, it was a 2-yard tackle. What?
And clips.
What are we talking about?
Play. That 5 seconds. Oh, you see that play? I lost him. Dude, you're like 6'2". That cornerback's like 5'6". That's child abuse. Knock that shit off.
I'm telling you, because I mean, if they want to see some people do some jump balls, I got a lot of film on some guys doing good jump balls. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, they don't post. You know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that is just like, I'm not even gonna post. I think that the Predator game that I played, I didn't know, was 5 sacks. You wouldn't have never known if you wasn't at the game or you didn't look at the stats. Because I mean, yeah, I could have been one of those guys and went through and posted every single one of them. But I was just like, I mean, to me, it was easy work. I was out of it by the second quarter. I was chilling, you know. But, you know, other people, that's the highlight of their life. They're going to post it all day long. Like, I really hate when people post film against lesser teams, too, and just be like, oh, yeah, I'm out here dogging. Where's your film when you play some good folks? You know, like, where that film at? Where's the same energy? Oh, they want to look my way. Yeah, they want to look your way on purpose. You know?
Yeah. Who's the one player that, or a couple of players that you think are primed to have a breakout season in 2022? I have a few in mind, but who are those players?
I've been talking to the former defensive end from Seven City Vikings.
T. Smith,
yeah. He's a pretty level-headed dude, good guy, man. I think. Couple conversations with him, man. He open to learn. And I think with him making the move that he's making, I think that's a great fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
Him going to the going over there to the Blackhawks, I feel like that's a great fit. He can learn from them. And like I said, you got two of the best defensive ends over there, you know what I'm saying, along with him. So it's like you can't do nothing but learn from them. And it's like, shoot, Justin and my boy over there, like, and, Pat, like, shit, dang, you know what I'm saying, I ain't gonna lie to you, like, shit, we getting up in age, you know, so T-Sniff, if he learned what he need to learn from them, right, he can take over the reins and, you know, start filling those type of shoes. Man, I think that's going to be a great pickup for him, and, you know, I talked with him, and I was like, you don't have to worry about the other stuff he was doing with the other teams. So Blackhawks, great organization. I think that's a great move. The quarterback moved to the Storm. Even though, like I say, it was nothing against the quarterback, CJ, it was nothing against him. But like I say, with the veteran leadership and a guy that knows how to win, that's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? And to me, they were lacking a passing game. To me. Like, they had the run. You know what I'm saying? The run was where they were dominant at. And to me, them trying to go away from the run and go pass heavy in the playoffs, that was probably the worst decision ever I had ever heard. I don't know when I let them do it, because I wasn't gonna say nothing when I did my when I was doing my predictions. I wasn't gonna say nothing because, like I say, at the end of the day, I'm playing against y'all. You know what I'm saying, in the playoffs, so I can't give you tips. But to me, that didn't make too much sense. Another move is I did see that there was a couple of people. Where's my the D tackle from the Gulf Coast Gators? I seen that he was on the move. I think that's gonna be a good piece. I forgot who he was going to.
Which one?
But it was
which tackle?
What is his name? I can't remember his name. He has the crazy face mask. I know he got the crazy face mask. I don't remember his name. He was, I remember watching him at the Horseman game. He was blowing that shit up there. Like, he was one of the main ones that was actually getting in the backfield. I just can't remember the guy's name right now, but shout out to him. He actually posted on the APDFL page a while ago, and it was talking about just, you know, getting a new home and stuff like that. So I think that'll help out. I just cannot put on the money what actual team he was going to. But
the Dolphins.
The team he was going to. There you go. There you go. I think that'll help them out real tremendously down in that Florida area. Because I think that Florida area, I don't think the Crusaders will be able to just slide by like that next year in the state of Florida. I don't think they'll be able to just slide how they did last year, this past season. I think it's going to be a little tougher with the different alignment. Atlanta Predators is out of it now, so you don't even have to worry about going deep down there no more. I think that's going to be a little battle in Florida. And the Thrashers actually have filled a couple of holes. We've recruited a couple of linebackers. That was needed. And we also addressed the defensive line some more. So that the defense of the Thrashers is going to get – I mean, people thought it was okay last year. Shit, it's going to get a little deeper next year. And to me, like I say, I mean, I feel like we was top three in defense. You know, but, you know, some people see it differently. But to me, I feel like we was one of the top defenses out there. So I think those two power moves.
Mm-hmm. One of the guys like that doesn't get talked about because he was hurt the majority of the season was Carlos Kohler from the Louisiana Lightning. If he does move to the Kings, that gives them a top four, top three defensive tackle. Speaking of everybody on my list of players, I think are going to show out. Carlos Kohler goes to the Kings. DeMonte Queen. Mm-hmm. If he ends up on the Thrashers, which I've heard things, you don't have to comment. I just heard things.
Okay.
That dude is
okay.
He's good.
He's gonna be a deep. It's gonna be a deep rotation at D line next year. It's gonna be a even better rotation at the linebacker position. Jack still will be the captain as far as those linebackers, but when I tell you, it's gonna be some more. There's gonna be hunting just like Jack, and then D-line, with us having a deeper rotation, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. Future. And then, Future, like I said, Future, he didn't have a full season with us. So this would be Future's full first season. Savvy is converting to safety, so that opens up another spot at receiver for us at the Thrashers. We got another secret weapon coming over for a receiver for the Thrashers. Like I say, I'm going to keep it in the bag for right now until everybody put their name on that dotted line. We do have the Hard Knocks that we're going to start filming for the Thrashers, so be on the lookout for that, Terry. Yeah. So, we'll keep you posted on that.
If you get Martin on that defense, there's going to be a whole bunch of problems for people.
Oh. Trust me. You know, I recruit like Mark. I ain't gonna lie to you. Future is a great recruit. He can get people to buy in because they know that Future come to play ball and he want to win. So he's a great recruit. Cam himself is a great recruit, and it's funny because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He lets you know he's gonna be in folks' inboxes. It's up to it's up to the player if they gonna stay home or leave. Yeah, I just say nobody's really getting paid out here, so it's like no one really has a I can't go there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, you might not want to leave your homeboys and stuff like that. But you know what I'm saying? You do the best for what's for you. So I think it's gonna be a good shakeup in that Western Division. I think that Western Division will probably get a little bit tougher. Even though it was kind of top heavy last year. I really want to see what Pike County gonna do.
I like them. I like their coach. Their coach keeps all the talent in that county. In that county where you have the dynasty are lurking, and they're coming back. New head coach, Steven Jackson coming back as a quarterback, and those dudes are angry. They're mad.
Because I mean, I felt like they had enough keys to service on defense, because I watched their defense. Defense hit hard, physical. It was just they were struggling on the offensive side. And I think if they can get another a good push on that offense, they can get another wide receiver, probably address the line, get maybe about two linemen in there. They can kind of address the line, and I would get another running back, even though they had a good serviceable running back. But I would get, you know, try to get one more. I think that would be a problem.
I got a question for you.
I think that would be a good problem.
Who's the best running back in Georgia right now in semi-pro?
Big debate. Right now it's neck and neck to me. And the reason I say neck and neck is because it depends on the style of running back that you like or the style of running back that you want. Tristan, every down back. J-Rock can be an every down back, but I just don't see me telling J-Rock, hey, run up. You know what I'm saying? We running 21. I need you to get up through that. We running 22. I need you to get up through that. I would rather have Tristan. If you're talking about we going to spread, I'm putting J-Rock back there and I'm throwing him a couple passes. Yeah, I'm going to keep J-Rock back there. But as a body of work, based off of who completed the season, I would have to give the slightness, just a smidget edge to J-Rock because he finished the season. Now, had Tristan finished the season, yeah, he would have ended up with probably more yards. Yeah, he probably would have ended up with more touchdowns. But I can't credit what he did when he went to indoor and give him credit over here. That credit got to stay in the indoor, and the credit that you had when you was with the APDFL, I got to give you that. So, like I say, it's neck and neck, but I got J-Rock by like a half inch.
Who's the best wide receiver?
Best wide receiver in Georgia, hands down right now, is DeMarcus Sweat.
That's facts.
That man is a different breed. He's a different breed, man. And when I tell you I've watched Sweat go out there and run routes, score a touchdown, and not tie his shoes. Like, that was the most amazing thing. I sat right next to him. He had got dressed. He put his shoes on. I was like, bro, you got a tight shoe? He was like, bro, I'm going to be right back. And he scored a touchdown. And that shit, it just amazed me because I'm like, you really just did that? I was like, okay, all right. You know what I'm saying? But I love Sammy Johnson. But like I said, he's going over the defense. And another guy I do love, too, which didn't get too much recognition, is Chris Williams. Chris Williams is an excellent wide receiver for the Horsemen over there. Excellent wide receiver, good hands, can run just about every route. And then I think after that I would have to go with LD with the Colts. He's very physical, great route running, doesn't give up, good blocking. And then to me that makes a complete receiver. It's like, yeah, you can go deep, catch a couple of passes, take a screen, whatever. But I think to me to be a great receiver, you have to do all three levels. You know, you got to be able to block, catch, and run. So I think Sweat would be right there at the top. Chris Williams probably would be my number two, and then I would go with LD.
And somewhere in that top five, you got to put a guy in Javier McGriff. That dude never talks. Cool.
What team he on?
The Colts.
What team? Oh, my other guy. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I mean, because the Colts had a nasty, like, when they end up getting Pep back, for those last couple of games, that actually piped up that receiving core. Because I think a lot of you, like a lot of people, like I say, he is quiet. So a lot of people, when they go down there, they look at LD. They look at LD and they, you know what I'm saying, like, oh, he's the guy. But He was. The other guy was making a lot of catches when we played. He did make a lot of key catches and a lot of contested catches. So I really can't be mad at that, you know. So he probably would make my top five if I had to go with a five. He probably would slide in there.
We got to talk about a guy, Will Howard. Now, Will has the flag football in Georgia pretty much locked down. He has all these national trophies that we need to kind of come up on and kind of win for ourselves. If you were putting together a team of players that Will doesn't have on his team, shout out to Will, who would you put together?
For a flag team, and I can't use the people that's already on his team.
Yep.
Well, technically, KT was not on his team, so I would add KT.
And then you?
Yeah, me. I wasn't on. Well, I'll take that back. I was on the roster, but I didn't actually play. But I would try to flag thing out. Another guy I probably would add on there would be CJ from the Horsemen, the defensive end from the Horsemen. He has a motor like no other.
Number 17?
I would actually – yep. Yep. I think that would be a good game for him because I think he can play – multiple positions. I've seen him play multiple positions on the D line. I've seen him play D tackle, defensive end, and if he needed to stand up and, you know, rush, he could do that too. I would also use a big body, Montese. Probably use Montese. He probably would be on my center guy, and also probably be my nose. Future probably would go into that category. Like I say, versatile guy, can play both sides of the ball. And then when we go to the back end,
B. Smith.
See, cause it's hard not trying to use. Yes, I would have to use B. Smith. Excellent corner, Pat. The other, well, he actually led our team in interceptions. Pat. Burris. Yep. I would steal the linebacker from us as well. Yeah, Jack. I try not to. You know, say to people off the thrashers, I know people be like, hey, well, you were being biased. I'm like, I don't be trying to be biased, but I mean, I see them all the time and I know what they bring.
LD.
LD would be a great receiver and a great corner on both sides. I would have to steal Pep from them too, number 7 from the Colts. I would have to take him. He would be my go to. Like, I know nobody's going to catch you. And when KT, him and KT throwing the ball, when you got Sweat, LD, and you got Pep, like, yeah, that's gonna be hard to cover. That is extremely hard. I would go with Tristan. Tristan can play both linebacker and he can play a running back role. And I would actually use J-Rock. I might as well just get two good running backs because they both can be serviceable to play a slot and actually play a running back. And if he needs to block, I can put Tristan back there to block.
I'll bring our guy Bear Thomas. Bear's in shape now. Yeah. He's ready to go.
Yeah. And let me see if I can try to pull some other guys from another team. I do like the wide receiver from the Tigers, Gatlin. I mean, not Gatlin, but
Ladarius.
What is my? Why does his name skip me right, guys? He gonna beat me up for this because he gonna be like, damn, Debo, how you forget me that fast? But he was wide receiver for the Tigers. He was really their top receiver for the Tigers. I just can't. It's just skipping my brain right now. I've been up all night. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I've been up since yesterday. And we had a tournament all weekend. So my brain is a little jumbled right now. But I will take the wide receiver from the Tigers. That probably would be somebody I would bring over. He's a real humble guy, too. And that probably would be a good team right there. I probably would try to snatch a couple other linemen here and there from and I probably would get Mad, Darrell Crawford from the Metro Atlanta Horsemen, give me another dominant lineman that I can get out there as well. And I know that, you know, he's going to talk a lot of smack because, you know, ain't no helmets on, so he's going to be talking a lot of smack freely. So I know that'll be a good thing.
Freddie Dixon, our guy. Now.
Yeah, Freddie. I can't use Freddie because Freddie was on the team, so that's why I couldn't use
him. How many dudes does he have on his team?
Oh, you'll be surprised. A lot of talent played on that team that won the championship in Vegas. That's why I wasn't surprised they won. Because they had a lot of good talent. And it's funny because a lot of them are now playing semi-pro. A lot of people that won that tournament in flag are on the bench. And they kind of made fun of them when they wanted to go last year. They was like, oh, yeah, I got a whole bunch of flag players thinking they can play regular football. Blase, blase, this ain't flag. And I mean, I was on the horses. I was talking junk too. But, I mean, shoot, a lot of, if you look at their background, a lot of them played college ball. You know what I'm saying? So, it wasn't none of them. You know what I'm saying? Flag was just an easier way for them not to get hurt, you know, and be able to, you know, go hug your family and run with your kids, you know, without having to be talking about my body hurt. But I mean, they do play contact flag, though. So that is the big thing. It is contact flag. So they can't run into you while they're trying to grab your flag, you know. So that is the tough part about it.
Up here, this contact flag where it's 9 on 9, right? You got three down linemen, three offensive linemen, three defensive linemen. There's full blocking at the waist. Like above the waist, it's full blocking. And you can jam the corners.
Wow.
And it is, man, it is physical. Whew. I mean, it is. You got 300-pound offensive linemen versus 300-pound defensive linemen. And they are going at
Oh
it.
yeah. Oh yeah. I already know that's good ball.
Oh, it's tiring. Like, I played for a long, long time, and a buddy of mine was like, oh, you should come back. I haven't played in like 9 years. I had kids. So I might be dusting off
Yeah.
those cleats in a couple of weeks.
Man, yeah. I mean, Will been trying to get me out there, and I told him, man, I said, I ain't gonna lie to you, Will, I know nothing about this. He's like, Devo, man, all I need you to do is just rush and do your thing, bro. You ain't gotta worry about nothing else. I said, for real? He's like, yeah, bro, just rush. He's like, you gonna beat a lot of people, bro, just because you got hands and you got good technique. You're gonna beat a lot of people. And I was like, all right, well, I'll come try it out.
Now
So you'll see me in a flag uniform coming soon.
he also said that he thinks he can beat you in basketball, that 1-on-1 that we need to have.
I don't know, man. I think that actually would be a good matchup. I think that actually would be a good matchup. Me and Will may have to go ahead and roll the ball out there, man. We'll practice out there at the field. It's cool out there. Now you're gonna make me throw the ball in the truck and tell Will to get over here. We going to three, man. You know, I say we going to three now. We getting too old. When you start telling people they go to five and go to seven, we'll be out there
Seven?
about
Wait, I thought it
45
was
minutes
15,
trying
no,
to get
21.
in. Oh yeah, 21. Yeah, 21. Man, I wouldn't play 21 at my job, man. And bro, I say we played 21 for about shit. We had to be playing about an hour, and I don't even think nobody hit 21. So you know what I'm saying? With that ass kicking in, man, you think you're gonna run up and down that court, man. Well, boy, it started kicking in, and you like, yeah, I think I'm gonna go back to playing football, man. So. You know, but now you done started something, so when I see Will tomorrow, man, you're gonna make me pull out the ball, man. I'm
You
gonna
have to. You have to. Because
see
it
what's
has to be
up with
settled.
him,
It has, of those athletes outside of Sammy, who's the best basketball player in on Georgia semi-pro? Not Sammy, because Sammy's probably he probably
Not
won't be the
Sammy,
best.
yeah, because Sammy loves basketball. Sammy loves basketball. Like I've seen Sammy in the gym dunking and everything. Surprisingly, let me see. Is a cornerback for the Horsemen, Jake. He's pretty okay at basketball. He's kind of short, but he's pretty good. I've seen a couple of them hoop before, and it kind of surprised me because I didn't really, you know what I'm saying? You never know who's going to play a two-way sport, but it kind of translates when you see their game. You're like, okay, you probably could play a little basketball, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to lie to y'all. I'm not a three-point shooter. I'm an old-school guy, so I'm taking none of the twos, layups. And you know what I'm saying? And a couple of little turnaround, little dirt and vinces with the knees, man, with the knees in the air, man. That's what I'm doing all day. So, but best basketball player, that's tough. Now you make me want to go have a little intramural game. I may need to go set up a little intramural game. We go live, man, and y'all can see, you know what I'm saying, a couple of people. But I still want to get this fat boy race in, man. I'm gonna talk to Bernard and see if we can try to get that at the classic. I
Yes.
want to see the big boys rolling, man. Put some
Oh, I
donuts
got
at
you
the
open
end of the
every
line,
time.
man.
If you are over 260 pounds, I'm 262, I want to race you. I want to race it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be over 250. If you're not over
Yes.
250, you cannot join the race. I need 250 and better, man. We're going to put some donuts at the end, And whoever get there first, get the donuts, man, and we're going to – and I know that'll be the funniest thing, because I just want to see somebody fall.
Now,
I know somebody's going to fall.
You saw the thing I posted on Facebook where they had the body shot challenge where they had all these fighters who were standing in line, and they were punching each other to kind of see who would give up if you got shots to the ribs. Who's the one person in Georgia Semi-Pro that you would never want them to hit you in the ribs?
I want to say the guy, and it's funny because I've been going against them so long. The Horsemen have an offensive lineman named AJ. He got dreads. Not the biggest guy in the world. He round, not the tallest guy, but like he got good weight on him, and his technique with his hands is so deadly. And he has actually hit me in my ribs. And he does this move where he one to the chest, you bring your arms up, he bring one to that hip, to that to where that rib cage at. He put the other one up top, and he say, "Let me use you." And when he say that, he finna take you for a ride. So I think that's probably the most dangerous one. Josh from the Horsemen too. He has a big body too, but I know how to get Josh my feet better than his. So with that being said, I can kind of adjust myself, so I probably won't take that shot. But that probably be the one of the guys offensive line wise. I'm not really trying to get hit in the stomach with, you know.
I got one. There's a guy who plays for a dynasty named Roger Gladney. Probably between he and Crawford are the two best offensive linemen I've seen at this level. There's a story, and people have said it. They have, you know, from different sources. He was bartending one night in Jackson, Mississippi. Somebody got a line. He ended up in a fight, knocking out everybody in the room.
Dang.
That's the last dude I want to be punched by. Mm-mm. Like, in the rib? No. Mm-mm. You got to be higher than giraffe nuts. I am not about to let that man punch me. Mm-mm. I am not fast, but I will sit there and I will circle until I couldn't circle anymore. Now, the Chargers had a tournament this weekend. Explain what the feeling was like taking the field as a head coach, and what did you learn?
I mean, I ain't going to lie to you. I mean, I went out there with a positive attitude, but I think right before game day, I had that feeling of me playing football for the first time again. I had the little early butterflies, a little jitters, feel like I'm going to throw up. But the thing was, I couldn't let my kids see it. So I kind of like removed myself for a second, got collected myself, because I'm just so competitive when it comes to football. I want my kids to understand that the passion that I have, I'm trying to give it to y'all. And it's like, I explain to my kids a lot, like, you don't have to. I'm not teaching y'all to play football for the rest of your life. I'm teaching you to play football to use it as a tool to get you where you want to go in life. So I have that conversation with parents and stuff all the time. And my parents respected me. Even though we had a tough one, the first game, we ended up losing the first game, but we scored our first touchdown of the year. I ended up having to call offense. We had some miscues. One of my offense coordinators, he had to work. So I ended up having to call offense, and I did a pretty decent job at calling the offense. I can't even lie, even though that's not my strong point. But, I mean, I understand offense, so I can go out there and do it. And then the second game was a little tougher because my kids are playing up a level. 80% of my team is 11, and the other little half, the other little bit, 20% is 12. So we have to play 12 of you because I have 12-year-olds on my team. And the reason I kept the 12-year-olds because I felt like they had been out there working with me, and I didn't want to just leave them by the wayside. So I was like, hey, we can all learn from this. We'll just go 12. I'll keep them for a year. When they go 13, I'll stay at 12, and we'll just run 12 again with the players that I had last year and the new people that came in to the regime. So I think it's going to give all my players a better chance of just understanding. Because like I said, that age difference, that 1-year age difference can be a big jump. Because like I say, but when I took a picture of some of them kids out there this weekend, man, it was kids taller than me at the age of 12. And I'm like, bro, I'm 16. Like, what are y'all feeding these kids? But, you know, I mean, you know, football, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you, football in the state of Georgia, it's tough. We had a couple of teams come from out of town, and they was like, we need Trey Burton to. Because he can't be, nah, he can't be 11. But, you know, but for the most part, like I said, I took two on the chin. You know, I don't like losing. But at the end of the day, man, I know what I got to work on. Will had a good weekend, too. They end up, they lost the first game by a touchdown. And they went to overtime in the first game, and they end up losing in overtime. The second game, they end up losing 6-0. So, I mean, Will had a great week. You know, even though he didn't come out where he wanted, but he, to me, he had a good week because it's like, at least you're not letting people score and you're in the game. You see what I'm saying? And that ain't nothing but a couple of fixes. You can fix that, tweak a little couple of stuff, and you can get that together. But for me, it was a great weekend for the Charger organization as a whole. I appreciate my brothers out there. And like I say, man, I'm giving back to the community, so I always let everybody know, man, if y'all want to, you know what I'm saying, send donations or whatever, that's I'm not asking for it, but if you want to, you can contact Will and just send donations. And we did just get us a new field. We'll be playing at Tri-City High School, so now the kids have a good field to play on, good turf and stuff like that, and we got the hood. So that's a big plus for us. And like I said, I'm just trying to build from here, man. You know what I'm saying? And this, like I said, just trying to give back to the community, man. So if any semi-pro guys, y'all out there listening, anybody that's in Georgia, it doesn't even matter. Anybody has to be in Georgia, man. If you want to reach out and say something to the team, or if you like to come and talk with the kids, man, we're more than happy to have y'all come out there, man. Because at the end of the day, man, we do this for them because they are the future.
Metro Atlanta High School football versus the rest of the state in Georgia. Who wins that game?
Who? If you go deep county, I'm going with the county boys. I'm going with the country boys. If we go out of the metro, because really in the Metro Atlanta area, teams are more of a finesse. We'll say that. When you get out of that little bracket of Atlanta, teams become power teams. So now you've got freaking offensive linemen, and they look like they are going to Wisconsin or Wyoming or something like that. You know what I'm saying? They averaging almost a ton on the line, and they running it down your throat. They not even spreading you out. They running it down your throat. So, I mean, the physicality that they have in the country, most of the time it trumps when it gets deeper in the playoffs. So I would have to go with the country team before I go with the city team. Now, city teams do surprise you every now and then, but it's just something about that country strong, man. It's just something about it.
Prettier ladies, Metro Atlanta women, rest of the state of Georgia.
All right, so if you're talking about good quality, nice-looking women, city of Atlanta. If you're talking about nice cornbread, probably she know how to cook. She going to take care of you. You know what I'm saying? I want me a country one. You know? But, I mean, it's so much. Like I said, in the city of Atlanta, man, it's like a melting pot. You can get any kind of flavor you want out here in Atlanta. But like I said, once you go to the country, man, it slows down a little more. People are more receptive to actual relationships and not just, you know, hot girl summers. So if I want to go for, you know, say good flavor, I think city of Atlanta, but if I want a real woman, a real girl, something like that, I would probably go outside of city of Atlanta.
True or false, the Falcons will only win 7 games this season?
It's 17 games this year?
Yes.
I'm going to go over.
Oh.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 8 and 9. If Calvin Ridley stays hurt going into the season, it's going to be rough. I know they just said he had ankle surgery, last week. But I just don't see the Falcons having enough far as offense. Like with them losing Julio, I think now that levels the playing field when it comes to playing against the Falcons. And Mike Davis is a okay running back, but Mike Davis hasn't really carried the load. And now he's going to be RB1. And behind him is Shaky's too. So it's like, I don't know if they have enough offensive power, and they never address the pass rush either. So with that not being addressed, the back end, they still really need another corner. I don't see them making the playoffs. I can see them maybe squeezing off 8. And that's if they probably catch, like, the Panthers slip in or catch New Orleans one time, beat up on Jameis or something like that. But I don't see them going to the playoffs.
True or false? Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback, is the worst quarterback with the best team in the league.
The worst quarterback with the best team in the league?
He has the best surrounding talent for his skill position.
Oh, okay, okay. Look around the league real quick. Quarterbacks. Well, yeah. On paper, you probably would have to go with that on paper. You probably would. When you look at the marquee names for the Browns, they just got so many hot talent. You got added Jadeveon Clowney over there, and you got Myles Garrett on the other side, and you still got, you know what I'm saying, hitters in the back, my boy Ward at corner. It's just, it's a lot, and it's a lot of name recognition. So I would say Baker, because I'm not really, I don't know, like, Baker's decent to me. I really feel like if you were to take someone like Aaron Rodgers and throw him on the Browns, Browns would be in the Super Bowl.
Here's kind of
maybe
a,
if you took another, Josh Allen.
True. Here's kind of a, another Falcons question. The report is that Deshaun Watson is still looking to get out of Houston. If you're the Falcons, do you give up 3 first-round picks and Matt Ryan for Deshaun Watson, who's from Georgia?
I think that would be steep. And the Falcons, if you look at the Falcons' history, they don't even do sporadic things like that. I think the last sporadic thing they did was when Dimitrov traded all those picks to get Julio. Mm-hmm. I really haven't seen them bring in anybody marquee. I think the last marquee guy they brought in was Dwight Freeney.
He was old.
Yeah, he was at the end of his career. So I can't see the Falcons taking that risk. I think Arthur Blank wants to just ride out with Matt and then try to just hit the reset button after he rides out with Matt. To me, it would make sense to go ahead and get Deshaun Watson. But it's like, do you really want to do that and not be able for him to play? With those charges,
yeah,
pin and seal,
yeah,
that's the roll of the dice right there. Because it's like, shoot, yeah, if you insert Deshaun Watson into that, really giving up all those picks, I really think they need another running back and another wide receiver. And it's like, can you get that in the second round? You might be able to get one of those in the second round, especially the abundance of receivers that came through on this draft. You might be able to get you a decent receiver in the second round next year. But I think them giving up all that, and they strapped for money too. That's another thing. I think even if they did trade Matt Ryan, they would still have to pay Matt Ryan one more year, and that actually would put them in the bind. That's really – I hate the Falcons, but I watch it a lot because Steelers not on TV. But they make some very questionable decisions sometimes, and that's why I always, revert back to like, yeah, this is why I'm not a fan of the Falcons. Yeah.
Now, last question before we head out. You're a Steelers fan. Do you think that they have enough to make a deep run this year?
Now it's gonna be hard. They said Big Ben is looking like old Big Ben, but I just like I don't really care. I'm really over Big Ben. I really rather have Deshaun Watson come to the Steelers, to be honest. I think Big Ben should be about out the door. I think with Deshaun Watson going there, I think with him and Tomlin has had the crazies, as we all know. Y'all see what happened when AB got loose. Y'all see what happened to Le'Veon when he got loose. So I think he could help that situation. And it's like, shit, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was a rapist. So, I mean, it's, you know, different. Because Deshaun just being accused. But we all know Big Ben was wild when he came to Georgia and all that happened. So that's why I'm really not really a big fan of Big Ben after he did that. But I think we can maybe slip into the wild card. But we're going to have to split with Baltimore and we're going to split with the Browns. We can't lose two games to both teams.
How much money do y'all have to throw at TJ Watt to keep him in Pittsburgh?
I think TJ Watt might be close to one of the highest paid defensive linemen when it comes back, when they have to give him his money. Just because of him being young, he's really proved himself that he can play multiple positions. He can play the defensive end, he can stand up, play the outside linebacker. And it's like really there's nobody else on that still defense that's just stood out besides Mika. Devin Bush, I'm really looking forward to see what he's going to do this year. With him getting hurt last year, that kind of messed up how he was progressing. Because I really felt that the second year was going to be a better year than his first year. But I would pay him. Casey Hayward is out the door, about to be out the door. My boy Truitt, he's going to be out the door. So I think you would have to keep him around just to keep that defense going. Like I said, my big keys would just be Mika Fitzpatrick and make sure he gets signed. T.J. Watt gets signed. Everybody else kind of would like fall by as a necessity. But I think they need to pay him what he needs. Well, I mean, what do you want, though?
6-120 or 5-90?
I don't go 5-90. I don't think I don't want to say he can go to that Aaron Donald range. I would say 5-90 with a good bonus, or backload it and give him some incentives in there. But yeah, I think 5-90 would be pretty much what I would go with. Because it's like, yeah, he gives an impact on the game, but he's just no Aaron Donald. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. My man, Darius Gillette from Georgia Thrasher, thank you so much for joining us on the I Don't Have a Podcast.
Thank you, my brother. Oh, I'm sorry. And let me give a shout-out to, my boy, Key. That's my boy for the Tigers. Key. That's his last name, man. It just hit my name. I know he was going to call me and be like, Debo, how you forget it? Yeah, my boy Key, man, one of the humblest guys, man, over there with the Tigers, man. He just go in and do his work. And he catches his passes, and he keep playing football, man. But once again, Terry, I appreciate you, man, for bringing me in, man, and just giving the light.
Always, man. The door is always open. Y'all can catch Debo everywhere. Y'all can catch Debo on the Football Trash Talk page either once or twice a week, anywhere between. He says it'll be like 8 o'clock, so it's like 8:30. Anywhere between 5:45 Central and 11:45 Eastern. You will find this man somewhere on there. I appreciate you, my man.
Shout out, man. Yeah, shout out, man. Make sure y'all go add the page, man. I'm trying to get some more interviews with y'all, man. Because y'all don't want to talk to Terry, come talk to me, man.
There you go.
Come talk to me.
There you go, my man, Debo. It's been an episode of the Unlimited Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.